You know what I just realized?
Hmm.
I didn't even hit record yet.
That's all right. This is just for us, I guess. What the hell? What are we, unprofessional? What is this, Unprofessional Friday? What the hell? Do you think I pull these chunks of gold out of my ass for nothing? What the heck?
Listen, the one thing that anybody can expect out of this podcast is complete disaster. Okay.
That's for darn sure. Welcome. And knock on, hold on. I'm at a wood table right now. Here we go. Listen to this. And we've never lost an entire episode yet. We've lost gigantic portions of episodes, but not an entire episode.
Not entire episodes. This is very true.
Yeah.
I think I've only forgotten to record one time.
True.
The other time, it was just a recording F-up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. People don't care about the intricacies of creating this award-winning podcast, the grabby award-winning Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. What they care about is stories, story time. They love story time.
I know, and I was revving you up for one. Well, are we recording, Martin Ferretti?
We're recording now.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to walk through what we just did and pretend like it's all spontaneous and off the dome.
Oh, yes.
But how was the camping? Glad you're back. Glad you parked your car, but rear end in first. Like I told you to.
I did not do that. I did not do that. So let me tell you a story. So
yes, tell me a story.
So I'd never been to this park, right? So I put in my GPS. I put in Pisgah National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the other, like, state parks and national parks that we've been to, there's, like, an entrance gate. So I'm like, cool. There's going to be an entrance gate. Like, I'll figure it out when I get there. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to get to this place that I've never been to before.
Mm-hmm.
So I punch it in, and I get to beautiful Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Ooh.
And it was great.
Okay.
I get there.
Wait, are you telling me you're already at the park entrance?
Well, I'm getting there. So,
but I want to know about the prep. Did you bring a duffel bag of course, black shirts? Your standard Martin Ferretti uniform?
Indeed,
what
I did.
What type of food did you bring? Uh-huh. Did you slaughter a turkey and make turkey jerky out of it? What food did you bring?
I did see a turkey, but we'll get to that. I didn't bring much. I brought two bags of trail mix. So, like, I can't remember what it was. Like, peanuts, almonds, M&Ms, like, that kind of crap. And then I brought two baked potatoes.
I was just about to say, that doesn't sound like your baked potato diet from last.
Two baked potatoes. Just because it was easy and it didn't take up a lot of room. Mm. And then I had the pants that I was wearing, plus another pair. I had three black t-shirts.
Sure, of course.
I brought a jacket because, you know, you go up on a mountain, it's cold. Mm. I had my sleeping bag, my tent, four pairs of socks.
Mm-hmm.
Had some paracord, a couple of tie-down straps. What else did I bring? I think that's it. And I had a gallon of water in my bag.
Did you bring your vape pen?
I did bring my vape pen. Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Thank God. So you can start forest fires if you have to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I brought a fire starter kit, water purification tablets, and there was one more thing that I brought. I can't remember. It wasn't a whole lot. Like, it was literally a backpack that was half empty. And then I stuck my sleeping bag in there.
Mm.
A mummy bag. Well, I'll get to the mummy bag.
Is it like a full body condom?
It's just like a full body condom.
Wait. Oh, I wanted one of those.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. When you get in it, it looks like you're a mummy.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
how many dirty pornographic magazines did you find scattered in the woods?
Zero. It's very clean. What? Yeah, it's very clean.
You didn't even go digging for some? The hell?
Dude, there wasn't even like trash on the trail.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's no outhouse.
No.
So you were pooping on the side of the road like any Grizzly Adams grizzly person.
Now see, I was smart. I pooped before I left.
Oh, that's right. You go long times without you.
I pooped before I left. So I get to Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me like behind this like supermarket and up this road. And I'm like, okay, cool. And all of a sudden it's like less and less houses and like more forest. And then I see mountains and I'm like, cool, like I'm almost there. And it said I was like 10 minutes out. So I make this left turn and I start climbing up this hill. And all of a sudden it's like you're at your destination. I'm like, the fuck I am. There's nothing here. There's like houses and trees.
Maybe it's just somebody who nicknamed his place on Google Maps.
Ah, well, no. So I looked it up, and I was in the forest. But apparently, this forest is gigantic, and so there are private residences there.
Oh, that's cool.
So the thing was, there's no reception there, so I had to go all the way back down, drive 10 minutes back into town, so I can get reception. So I stopped on McDonald's to pee, and I looked up a particular trail.
Did you fill up the rest of your backpack with quarter pounders with cheese?
No.
Smart. Very smart, Martin Ferretti.
I did not do that.
That did you at least put a sundae in there?
No.
What the hell? I didn't say a sundae with nuts. I know you're roughing it, so I'm leaving off the nuts.
Look, I don't want to bring any stinky food because I don't want bears to come.
A family of foxes attacks you for your quarter pounder. No, that's my filet of fish.
So I get that, and I look up this trail, and I find it. And so I put directions, and it's like 20 minutes up the other way. So I start driving back through Hendersonville, and they're having I don't know what it is. It's like a small town gathering day or something. Like everybody is downtown Hendersonville, and when I'm talking downtown, like there's not a building over two stories. Okay, so this is like a small town. Like a what?
Is it like Mayberry from Andy Griffin?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, is there like a parade? Are there like roadside stands that people have out? That type of thing?
No, people are just like hanging out at coffee shops and restaurants and whatever.
Oh, so it's just a regular Saturday.
Yeah, just a regular Saturday. Oh,
I thought maybe there was like a Frontier Day parade happening or whatever.
No.
Okay. Ooh, so you got a little flavor of Hendersonville.
Yeah, it was real nice.
I like that. See, I would have roughed it right in Hendersonville.
Well, I ended up parking and walking around for a few minutes.
Nice.
Because it was real nice. Matter of fact, there was a bar with a very clever name.
Uh-oh.
I did not go into the bar.
Okay.
But it was called Olive and Twist.
Ooh, and you didn't go in there?
I thought about it, but I didn't.
You didn't fill up the rest of your backpack with martinis?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been excellent. This sounds fantastic. Did you go into the town diner and fill up your backpack with homemade desserts, possibly? Maybe a blue plate special that, of course, is mashed potatoes, meatloaf with gravy, and green beans, of course. Has to be.
Did not do that.
Dang it!
Did not do that. So I got back in the truck, and I started going back, and I get finally I get to the park, or the National Forest.
Did this have an actual, like, you're driving in and here's like a huge sign that says blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now you know you're going in the right entrance.
Yeah, I knew I was going in the right entrance when it said Ranger Station, whatever it was, Pisco Ranger Station. And I was like, cool. Like, we are in the place.
Cool.
So I started driving, and there's a bunch of people. A lot of people, like, leaving already. Because I got there, like, I don't know, 3, 4? Yeah, I think about 3. So there's a lot of people already leaving, but I get there and I pass the campgrounds, and it was fucking packed at the campgrounds. I keep going and I get to the trail that I want to get to, and it's, Looking Glass Rock.
Oh.
So I get there and there's, the parking lot for the trail is almost full. There were like 8 or 9 cars there. So I park my truck and I get in. I get my pack together. I had to strap my tent into the backpack and I start going. And let me tell you, at first it was very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first, 10 minutes of the trail, very easy. It was mostly flat. Like I was going up, but it was mostly flat. Mm-hmm. But then like when I get halfway up this trail, it was getting steep and I was getting tired.
At what time is this?
So it ended up took me about 2 hours to get to the top.
So it's like dusk at this point.
Oh no, it was like 6.
Okay.
No, it did. Right. Sun didn't go down until about 8:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Our sun still goes down pretty early. So.
Yeah, it was pretty late when the sun went down. But so I get there and I'm climbing up, and I mean, I see people, like, there's a bunch of people already coming down off the trail. There's a couple people going up, and everyone was very nice. The whole time though, I'm trying to figure out, like, where I'm going to pitch my tent on this trail, right? Cause I know how tall this trail is, but I don't know how long it's going to take me to get to the top.
Mm.
Right. So I don't want to be like setting up camp after dark. So I start going, and I think I stopped like halfway up and then like three quarters of the way up. And finally I asked somebody, I was like, how much farther up is it? And the girl was like, she said probably like 15, 20 minutes. She's like, and she was one of the people that asked, she's like, are you camping up here? And I said, yeah. She's like, well, there's a fire pit already set up top.
Ah.
I was like, cool. So I'm going. I finally get to the top of the rock, and it's a pretty nice view. But then I realize that it's getting cloudy and it might rain.
Mm.
So I think to myself, I don't want to set up camp at the top of this mountain, because if it's a thunderstorm, my ass is going to get electrocuted. You know what I mean?
Jeez.
So I decided to go back down the mountain, probably about a 10-minute walk down. There was actually an outcrop of rocks about 10 minutes from the top. So I worked my way back down, and I went to this outcrop, and it was pretty big. I mean, it was probably, 30, 40 yards wide, probably about 50 yards long. But I didn't want to camp there either, because it was just rocks. And then I saw this little off trail from this outcrop, and I went through there, and there was a smaller section that was rocks with like moss all around it. And that looked like a pretty good spot. So that's where I ended up setting camp, is in this smaller outcrop. And then I took all my food and I put it in my sleeping bag, and then I tied it up on a tree. Because, I mean, it was just like nuts and potatoes, but still, you don't want to have like food near you when you're in a camp, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I set it up probably about 30, 40 yards from me up on this tree. And I got in there, and of course, I'm at the top of the mountain almost, so there's no reception, except like in this one little spot. Right. So before I started going up, I texted my wife and I was like, look, I'm at this trail. I'm going to camp out at the top of the mountain. Closest ranger station to me is, I can't remember if it was Brevard or Pisgah, one of the two, but I told her what the closest ranger station was. I was like, I'll text you in the morning when I get back down to the bottom of the mountain, but this is where I'm at. So if you don't hear from me by tomorrow, then you know where to look for me. And so.
Did she text back and say, well, don't text too early and wake me up. Thank you.
No, she didn't text back, because after that, I turned my phone off because I had no reception up there.
Yeah.
Except like literally, Nick, this one little spot. Like I had to have it in the perfect angle, in the perfect spot on this like an inch off of rock. And it was just like one bar. So I just turned my phone off. And then it got dark probably about 8:30, I think. And let me tell you, there's something about just being in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do that just makes you want to go to sleep.
Oh yeah.
So I ended up going to bed probably about 8:45, 9 o'clock.
Did you eat one of your potatoes?
Oh yeah, I should have said that. Yeah, I ate a potato.
Did you start
and had
a
some
fire?
Nuts. No, I didn't start a fire because it was pretty warm. It was like 65.
Oh okay.
Yeah, it was like 65. So I sit up in there and I laid in my little mummy bag and I went to sleep. I woke up at like 1 in the morning, probably. Ooh. 1 or 2 in the morning. Oh. Cause I had to pee.
Sure.
So I got up to pee and it started drizzling by then.
God.
Terrible. Yeah. But then I woke up the next day and I turned my phone off, and it was probably like, I don't know, 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning that I woke up.
Wow. So you had a long night's
sleep.
Yeah.
I had a great night's sleep.
Dang. You should do that more often.
No kidding. That's what I told my wife. And as a matter of fact, when I got back, I was like, she's like, what'd you eat? And I told her, she's like, well, that sounds fun. I was like, yeah, it was fucking awesome. I got up in the morning and I peed again and I had my other potato and some nuts, and I tore my camp down and headed back down the trail. And I mean, it was early, so there was nobody on the way back down.
Wow.
But it was nice. It was real nice. I made it back down to the bottom of the mountain probably about 9:30, 10 in the morning. It took me like an hour and a half to get down the mountain. And it was pretty easy for two things. So one, going up the mountain, I had the water in my backpack. So that made it heavier.
Yeah.
What I decided is I hadn't drank most of that gallon. I had a quart bottle with me also, that I refilled once. So what I did is I chugged the water that I had. I filled up the quart again, and I just dumped out the rest of the water in the jug.
Oh, jeez.
Well, there was no point. I mean, I was already going back down the mountain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put my poncho on and I headed down the mountain. It was good. And, so I got back down and, ended up going to check out a couple other trails, but it was raining. So I don't want to go too far up. So I ended up, just getting back in the truck and heading back home. So I got home. I don't even know what time it was. It wasn't like late, but I was pretty tired. Matter of fact, I've slept like a freaking rock since Sunday when I got back. Like seriously. So I think, what's today? Wednesday. So Monday I went to bed late. It was like midnight. And I woke up at like 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday I fell asleep at like 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, good.
I woke up at like 9:30, went to the bathroom and went back on the couch to try to rewatch the show that I've been watching. From where I figured I fell asleep, and I ended up knocking right back out. And I woke up this morning at like 6:30.
Jeez.
But it's been good. It was a very good experience. It was very relaxing. I didn't see any bears.
Ah.
There were no bears. I saw a wild turkey.
Mm.
A wild turkey like ran past me.
Okay.
He went, gobble, 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 gobble. It just ran past.
Wild.
But aside from that, nothing. I mean, I heard birds the whole night. So that was nice. I think that's why it was up. It was like putting on one of those sleep machines. You know what I mean? So you have like the drizzle going, and there's birds chirping in the background, and the leaves rustling. Yeah, it was good.
A little ambient noise.
Yes, a little ambient noise. It was very nice, very relaxing.
Now the next time you go, will you be bringing some ayahuasca to really have an experience?
No, actually, I thought about bringing some demon juice. I'm not going to tell you what demon juice is, but I thought about bringing some demon juice for Sunday.
Is that the stuff that Fred Sanford drinks in Sanford and Son?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know. All right.
I thought about it, but I was like, I'm just going to like chillax and whatever. I even thought about like bringing books to read.
Ooh.
But I didn't even do that. I didn't even bring a book. I just kind of enjoyed like just walking around and enjoying the nature. Enjoying nature. It was nice to not do anything. Let me say it that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, of course.
I you know me, I always try to fill like empty time with something to do.
Yep.
And in this weekend I did none of that. I mean, I didn't even have a phone, right? So I didn't even look at my phone or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Even when you think you're doing nothing or you're like relaxing, you still, everyone tends to still be connected, or you feel like you have to do something, or you just consider yourself like, God, you're just being lazy.
Mm.
And sometimes it's good to disconnect and do absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did. I gotta tell you, you should try it. You should try it sometimes, doing nothing. It's very hard to do nothing.
That sounds good. Next time I'll jump in the car, and when I go into the Mayberry, it's on my way to the Hilton. And then I will stay at a suite and I'll do nothing. I'll do nothing but lay around in that suite. How
nice,
about that?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I might see a bear.
You might.
I might see a twink. I don't know.
You definitely would see that.
You might. I'm at the Hilton. You never know.
Uh-huh. It's true.
I might see a fancy lad. You never know.
Oh, man. Oddly enough, somebody that I work with went camping in the same place.
Whoa.
Except they were actually in a campsite.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we were talking, and she's like, we did the primitive camping. So they had a tent, but in a campsite. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, I just went off trail. She's like, you slept on the trail? I said, yeah. She's like, why would you do that? I said, what the hell's the difference? You're in a tent. You know what I mean? Like, just because I didn't have a reserved spot somewhere.
Well, I'm guessing this primitive camping is probably like a designated area.
Yeah. So the difference is, so you can go to these places with like an RV, right? So you have like a water hookup and electricity, sure, sure, or whatever. And those places, those sites also have tent sites. They have RV sites, mm-hmm, and tent sites. Primitive camping is a campsite with reserved spaces, but there's no electricity, no running water. Actually, there's running water, but no electricity, no gas, none of that. There's no toilet, right? They have an outhouse, but there's not an actual bathroom.
Yeah, but my point is it's still a designated area that a ranger could drive by. Like, even though you're camping, it's still a little bit more locked down.
Oh, yeah. The ranger station's like 100 yards from the campsites.
Yeah, so they can keep an eye out, or there's enough commotion going on that, like, wild animals are not ripping through there.
Yeah.
Where you're at, there could be a bobcat, mountain lion zipping on by.
There could be.
A wild turkey.
It could be all kinds of things.
Then you miss out on all the threesome action that's happening at the campsite.
Yes, exactly that. Mm-hmm. But it was good, Nick. I had a great time. I would like to go on like a bigger trail. I think next time I go, I might go to the same park, but actually do Mount Pisgah, which is pretty big. I mean, the trail that I did was only, I think, 2,400 feet elevation. So not huge.
Were you disappointed that one of your kids didn't come?
No, I'm kind of glad. I think they would have just been like asking to stop every 5 minutes.
Bored out of their minds.
Well, bored, but like tired, right? Because once you get like the steep part of the trail, it gets pretty tiring.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then I would have to carry more stuff because they're not going to carry their stuff.
As well as them. You'll have to carry them up.
Yeah.
It's like, when is this fun? Oh my God.
Yep. Which is also, I'm glad that I didn't bring the dog because the trail is not very wide. I mean, most of the way up, there's room for one person and that's it. So like if somebody's going up and somebody's coming down, you have to like scooch back.
Move away. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing, see, I don't know if I would want to do, cause I'm not good with heights and I'm bad with elevation. I've learned that after visiting Utah. The one part of that camping trip that would appeal to me is setting up shop by like a river. That would be, cause then I could fish as long as I want to.
Yeah.
And that's
that's
like the best unplugged activity around.
So there is a river that runs through there. Matter of fact, it's
Brad Pitt. Oh, I love that.
it's right across the entrance to the trail that I was at. And there were a ton of people fly fishing there.
Nice.
So it must be good fishing because there was a lot of people fishing. But I don't want to do that and then I have to get like a fishing license and stuff. Like, eh.
Yeah, but still, it'd be fun.
Yeah, maybe next time.
What if you caught something? Then you could be eating off the land.
Oh, man.
Come on.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That would be interesting. Maybe next time.
Yeah, and you get the rolling brook sound effect when you're sleeping and waking. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I did have that, though, because part of this forest is in Transylvania County, and Transylvania County is known as the Land of Waterfalls. Literally on this trail, there were like 3 or 4 waterfalls. Not like huge waterfalls, but they were there. There was one, let's see, there was a really nice one towards the bottom of the trail that kind of curved all the way around. And then I saw a couple more like smaller ones up towards the top. I mean, there was like water everywhere. So I could hear the little the waterfall thing. But
there you go. Yeah. Or are you sure that wasn't just Bill Bomer 20 feet away from you playing it on a speaker?
Could have been.
Yep.
Could have been. Mm-hmm. He is known for such things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had a good time. So I'm gonna. I don't know when I'm gonna go next. I wanted to make it like a monthly thing.
Ooh.
But I haven't decided yet. I think maybe I will. At some point, I'd like to go like multiple days, right? Not just like doing one overnight, but do like 2 or 3.
Sheesh.
So I can like really get far into one of these trails.
Now, why do you think you came back and your sleep's been so awesome?
That's a good question, Nick. I don't know. Maybe I've just been tired.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was a mindset that you haven't come out of.
No, I was already kind of in that mindset before I went.
I like it. Yeah. I approve.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. So I want to do that particular place a couple more times. I'd really like to go to, what's it called? Nantahala, I think, which is on the border of North Carolina and Tennessee.
Wow.
And it's a much bigger area. So Pisgah is like 500,000 acres. I think Nantahala is like 200,000. It's huge. So maybe we'll see.
Don't get lost, dude.
That's what my wife said.
You're no Cub Scout over here. Come on.
That's
you're somebody who can read a map or like bring along like a device to figure out your direction, a compass. Except you would be bringing it on your cell phone, and then you would lose reception, and then it's like, oop, guess those don't work anymore. Oh boy.
So that's not true. I'm very good at reading the landscape because I did have wilderness classes when I was young. Matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. So one of the weird things was. So my phone doesn't work, obviously, because there's no reception.
Mm-hmm.
One of the weird things I noticed was how easy I was able to orient myself.
Nice.
Just like by seeing like where the sun's setting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty simple. Like if you know northeast, southwest, you can figure out like where you're going and where you've been, as long as you're paying attention. So yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that's probably my problem. I don't pay attention.
Ah, see? You gotta pay attention, man.
Hey, I'm just worried about my, you know, my boy, my Legionnaire boy. What can I say? I get scared.
Yeah, I wasn't bothered by that, man.
I mean, Dewan was all ready to take your Valiant collection, and, you know, I told him, hey, pump the brakes.
I saw
that. Let him try to make it back.
I saw that. He wanted to take over this podcast.
Yeah, he was very eager.
He was.
Yeah, so watch out.
Oh, jeez.
Like a Shakespearean drama happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had a good time. I had a good time.
Fantastic.
And I will do it again. Maybe next time I'll see some bears.
Now, do you think it helped that, like, there weren't a lot of bugs happening?
Well, I was smart, and I sprayed myself.
Sure.
Before,
but still, you get a lot of creepy crawlies. You're on the ground.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just saying if you went in July, August, holy Christ, it's going to be buggy.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I saw, like, stuff flying around.
Pitching a tent's one thing, but sleeping right on the ground? You lose that barrier, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, a tent. The tent's closed.
I thought you were just in a body condom.
No, I had a tent.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, I had my mummy bag in the tent.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That mummy bag is so warm, man. I was fucking sweating.
I told you one of my ex-coworkers, she was going to buy me a mummy bag because she knows how crazy I am with hotel rooms.
Oh, that's smart, yeah.
And she was making fun of me, and I'm like, no, if you got that for me for my birthday, I would be in that sending you pictures of me in that in a hotel room. That sounds like the best thing ever. Because it goes all the way up to your head, and there's only a little hole for your face. It's like, that's what I want, because I don't want to put my head on those gross pillows,
mm-hmm.
or God forbid, the bedspread. That's my roughing it, Martin.
Look, I've seen Gordon Ramsay. What's that show? Where he saves a Hotel Hell.
Master Chef Junior.
No, Hotel Hell.
What?
You've never seen Hotel Hell?
Oh, why would I see Hotel Hell? Did you not just hear my anxiety over hotel rooms? Why the hell would I ever watch that?
So, my wife and I love Gordon Ramsay, so we watch all his shows. But, yeah, Hotel Hell. He goes to, like, hotels that are failing and tries to fix them up.
So it's just like his kitchen hell. Or
yes.
Whatever it's called.
Yes,
yeah,
except okay. With hotels. And he'll do like the black light test.
Ugh, God.
Boy, is that nasty.
Oh, I know.
Oof.
I've seen many a news report with the black lights.
Mm. It is
no,
rough.
Thank you.
It is rough.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Hotel hell.
Well, I'm glad this was a positive experience.
It was very positive. I did some meditation Saturday night before I went to bed.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
I like it.
It's good.
Maybe it's something that'll help you slow down your hectic lifestyle.
Oh, I've already slowed down quite a bit, but yeah.
Well,
I do want to slow down some more.
Yeah, There's nothing wrong with slowing down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
You mean on the trail?
Yeah.
Right.
That's what she called it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Are you ready to switch gears?
Yeah, it's your show.
All right, then I'm switching gears.
Go for it.
Martin Ferretti.
Hey!
In lieu of the discovery of the black hole,
oh, a picture God, from the I'm black so hole excited.
Just today.
Mm-hmm. Two black holes.
Two black holes. I got a little game for you. It's called Black Hole Game. Won't you come? It is a game in regards to black holes, in sponsor of, in lieu of the black holes. So it's the black hole game.
I like it.
Mario Freddy, are you ready? I have 10 questions.
I love black holes. Continue.
They're all black hole centric.
Oh, man.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. And just these are little. I know how much of a fan you are of black holes. I know how much of you really geeked out over the images. I can't wait to hear your responses. So put on your science cap. Put on your stars cap. I need you to become Jack Knight, Starman, and use your rod and zip off into the sky.
Ah, yes.
The stars are your destination. Go, Martin Ferretti.
Yes.
Your first question.
Uh-huh.
What is your black hole in the Marvel and DC comics?
Ooh.
In regards to titles or characters that you've heard of and you've never really explored their title or a certain character.
So Marvel's going to be Black Knight because the only Black Knight that I've read is from Malibu Comics.
Ooh, wow. Okay. I like that.
And I know it's the same character, but yeah. I haven't read a whole lot from the Marvel side.
Yeah, same with me, except for his team appearances. But you never really got to know him all that much.
Well, and he had a solo series recently, like a year or two ago, and then it was canceled because nobody read it. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a shame. I want more.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those characters.
What about DC?
So for DC, it was Blue Devil. I don't know what it would be now. But I've been working my way through that Blue Devil series.
Mm-hmm.
Who did that? Did Mishkin write that? I think so.
I don't know. I've never read any Blue Devil.
Oh, you've never read Blue Devil?
Nope.
Very interesting. Let me see. Who wrote this? Who wrote this series? Well, now I can't find it.
Or what about a genre?
I'm pretty sure it was Mishkin.
For you.
I don't really have a black hole genre. Comics black holes are weird for me because, I mean, I read a lot of comics for one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, like, a black hole would be like a character that I know about but never read,
mm-hmm.
or like never heard of. And if I've never heard of them, then how would I know it's a black hole?
Well, or you've heard of them and you're just like, that's a genre I don't really care for. So I'm just going to avoid them.
Yeah, I don't have like a black hole genre, to be honest, because I like all of them. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm partial to sci-fi and horror.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't not pick a book up because it's a particular genre, except for like a few things. Like if it's I don't know. I'm trying to think of one.
I'll give you what spurred this question for me.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was never really into war comics, and I was never really into like horror type comics. And now, in my later years, every time I see a horror comic cover or a Western or war comic cover, I am so attracted and want to read more and more of that.
Mm.
So that would be my black hole. And Marvel-wise, it was always Thor and the space comics, just because they just never really held an interest comic book wise for me. And then once high school hit, then I really became interested in Marvel sci-fi. And it took after college for me, really, other than Simonson's run on Thor,
mm-hmm.
or him in a team book. I enjoyed him in a team book, but I just never was really spurred to read more than just what he was in a team book. But then after college, one of my buddies turned me on to Thor, and I've never turned back, which is great because I have decades to go back and read, which is fantastic.
Yeah. You know what I'd like? All right, here's a good one. So the original Sandman, Golden Age Sandman, I'd put that on that list. Because I've read all the other Sandman stuff, the Gaiman Sandman. But I haven't read a whole lot with the Golden Age Sandman.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Like he was always an interesting character in anything like JSA that I would read.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, I want to know more, but back then they weren't putting out graphic novels like they are now.
Yeah.
So you just never learned about them.
Yeah, and you know they just canceled a bunch of their Golden Age and Silver Age and Bronze Age collections.
I would say that's not DC not wanting them to get out there. It's guess what? The audience is not there. They thought it was there, but
lies. It's there.
I would hope so, but sales say one thing.
Well, you know, maybe they're worrying too much about sales. It's possible.
But no, those are great answers, Mark.
And since you mentioned JSA, I'll continue and just do like Iron Man or Alan Scott, like those kind of things. Those are big black holes for me.
That's the strange thing. I've always been attracted, and we've talked about this many times, the thought of like a countdown clock. Mm. I love when that's used in comic books. I think that adds a lot of tension. And yet Our Man, who always has that running clock, should be full of tension, and it just never seems to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, just get the right writer writing that character. It'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But very good. Okay. Along the same lines,
mm-hmm.
If you got stuck in a black hole with two characters from Marvel and two from DC, who would they be and why?
Mm. If I got stuck in a black hole with two characters from Marvel and DC. One of each or two of each?
Two of each.
Two of each.
I guess you can look at it like you're trapped two separate times. And it's not a team of four and then five including you. It'd be two DC characters and you in one black hole. Two Marvel characters and you in another black hole. So it's not really a team dynamic. I'm not shooting for that.
I see. So I'm assuming we're trying to escape the black hole.
You can read it however you want.
Because all right, it depends on what I wanted to do, right? So if I feel like I need to escape the black hole, then I'd probably choose – who would I choose? So I would do like Batman, because Batman would be really good at figuring out how to get me out of the black hole.
Because
right? he's the world's second greatest detective behind Martin Ferretti. Now the world's greatest detective after capturing the Poopy Bandit. Let's see. So Batman would be one. And then I would also pick, if I wanted to get out of the black hole, Batman, who would be the second one to get me out of this black hole? Let me think about that for a second. If it was DC, or if it was Marvel,
yeah.
And I was trying to get out of the black hole, I would pick Nightcrawler, because he would just teleport my ass out.
Sure.
I would assume teleporting works, right, around the black
hole? Can he teleport far enough away?
I mean, what's the limitation of his ability? Because it's not line of sight, right?
I don't think it is, but then it wasn't like he was ever on a spaceship and he teleported to like three planets away either. They've never shown that.
But he can definitely teleport within Earth, right?
Yes.
So,
but has he ever teleported across the continent?
I'm trying to think like what the distance from the singularity to the accretion disk of a black hole would be, and if that's far enough for him to teleport.
My question is, why wouldn't you use – see, now I'm starting to go down that rabbit. Why wouldn't you use that B-level character that X-Men had in the 90s that he was the African dude with the cane and he would, like, sit Indian style and, like, hover? Remember? It was like a Jim Lee character.
Like Brother Voodoo? Is that what?
No, it was an X-Men dude.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Remember when X-Men were in the Outback?
Oh, very vaguely.
Right. It was like 94.
Oh, 94. I was getting out of X-Men by that point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that character has the same thing as Nightcrawler, except he can teleport like larger masses as well as further distances. I never thought of Nightcrawler like he's just going to teleport to Germany. Yeah. He always seems like somebody who's like, he's going to teleport you down the street. That's why I don't think he'll be able to suck you out of a black hole.
You know who doesn't have a limitation, I don't think? What's the dog from the Inhumans?
Lockjaw?
Lockjaw. Lockjaw has no limitations, right?
Because he does not. He would work.
Yeah, sure. Lockjaw could pretty much... All right, screw Nightcrawler. He can stay in the black hole. I'm going to take Lockjaw.
Yeah. So it'd be like... Okay.
No, I'm replacing Nightcrawler with Lockjaw. Because we know Lockjaw can, like, teleport the shit out of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't have a second one, though.
Mm.
Man, that's tough. Wait. If we go back to DC.
Yes. Batman?
Batman. Could we use Sandman there? Because couldn't he technically, like, send us into the dreaming? And then we could escape back to Earth from the dreaming?
That sounds like he could, sure. Hey, this is your scenario, Pally.
I think this would work. I don't think I need two people to be escaping this black hole with me.
Well, now, I didn't say escaping.
What I'm saying. If I'm escaping, I think I could do it with just one. Okay. Now, if I want to stay in the black hole, mm-hmm. right? Like if we, that's what we'll do. We'll do one if I want to leave and one if I want to stay.
Okay.
So we'll do Sandman if I want to leave the black hole.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to stay in the black hole, I'm going to choose the question.
Because
I think the question could actually get me around whatever weirdness is inside the black hole.
Mm. Okay. But wouldn't he drive you crazy after a while?
I mean, maybe. But then I'll just get the Sandman to take him back into whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, with Marvel, that has to have Emma Frost because we need to repopulate this this black hole.
That's where I was going to go.
We need to repopulate. So if we try with Lockjaw, we try to teleport out. It doesn't work. Then Emma and I live happily ever after.
See, for me, it would just be two characters, and it would be Lockjaw and Mary Jane Parker or Mohawk Storm.
Ooh, I do like Mohawk Storm.
Because then we could populate the entire universe, and then that's when I pull out the Lockjaw card after a while. I'm just like, hey, Lockjaw, let's just take us back to Earth, huh? What do you And then, boop, we're back to Earth.
Uh-huh. I like the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
good. Okay, are you ready for the next question?
Yes.
While in a cold, would you want a fishbowl helmet or one of those tiny mouth respirators that you see in like the Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, the respirators are stupid. Listen, I know the fishbowl thing may look a little outdated. Maybe it's not fashionable. That Mysterio, he rocks that fishbowl. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the fishbowl.
I like the way you think. Same here. Mm-hmm. You can't beat fashion. That thing is uber cool.
It is uber cool.
Okay. The next question. What is your black hole in film? Is there a genre? Is there a movie that you've heard so much about you should check out? Is there a genre? Is there an actor that you've just never really checked out, but you feel like you want to?
Movie black hole. Problem with that is, just like comics, I watch way too goddamn many movies.
You know what mine would be?
Yeah.
Black and white noir. Mm-hmm. I love that genre. The problem is they've made probably five times as many noir films, but the ones that are that you always see are always available. There's been so many noir films that are just lost to the, like, sands of time.
Mm.
You're never, ever going to see them. They're just lost.
Yeah.
And I wish I could see more of them. Like, I've read plenty of, like, film noir books, and they'll have, like, you know, a certain scenes and images from those films, and it's like kung fu films. It's like they made so many of them that the rights of quite a few have just sort of slid in the cracks.
You know, it'd be good. I wouldn't mind seeing like a bunch of like black and white gangster flicks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond the ones that are constantly available.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think all that'd right. I think that'd be good. Matter of fact, I've wanted to do that ever since I watched Home Alone.
Mm.
When did that come out? Like 91, 2, something like that?
Sounds about right.
Ever since I watched that, I'm like, whatever this movie is, I need to watch it. And I've never seen that movie.
Really? I don't even remember the movie.
You know, the Keep the Change, You Filthy Animal.
Yeah, I remember the scene of it, but yeah, I don't recall the name of the movie.
What? Let's see what the movie is. Keep the Change, You Filthy Animals. What movie is that from? Keep the Change, Home Alone, Inspired. No, this is just like merchandise.
Are you buying a Kevin sweatshirt with that saying on it?
Look, I just need to know what movie this is. Oh, well, shit. It's not even a real movie.
Oh, really?
That's ridiculous.
Hilarious. John Hughes, you got us again.
Here we go. Kevin McAllister was watching Angels with Filthy Souls. The film was actually a fake movie made for Home Alone.
Wow. Wild.
This is ridiculous. My whole universe is destroyed right now.
Well, then you have seen that film. See? You're all good now.
I've seen the entirety of that film now. Yes, it's true.
But I could see gangster films helping out, like, your writing and, you know, just getting you in a different mood than what readily is available.
Well, and they're fun, right? It's, because what was the last gangster flick? Like that Johnny Depp one, right? What was that called? Criminal
Astronaut's
Minds?
Wife?
Not Criminal Minds. Something Minds. Dang it. Anyways, I mean, the last time there was a gangster film was probably at least 20 years ago. Remember, yes. Like, for a while they were hot, right? When, like, Casino was coming out and Goodfellas and all that crap.
And L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential. What's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio? That was a good one. That was kind of a gangster film. Man, I wish I remembered. But that was good. Matter of fact, there's a sequel that they're working on for that.
Interesting.
Yes. But it was a modern gangster film, not like the other ones, where it's like classic mafia stuff.
Got
it. But it was still mafia. Yeah, those are good. Boondock Saints, that was a mafia flick.
Sure.
I don't know, but still, it's still been like at least 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like with, I was talking to somebody about this a couple days ago at work, how they don't make westerns anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Cause
you are true.
You can probably put on one hand the number of westerns made in the last like 50 years. Maybe not 50.
No, I would say the last 20 years for sure.
Yeah, 20 years for sure. So we would have you seen Hateful Eight? God, that's so good.
Yeah. I have. It's on Netflix right now.
Man, that movie is so good. I'm going to have to watch that again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with this show that I'm watching right now is kind of a Western.
Hmm.
Into the Badlands.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I thought you were going to say Justified.
No. It's
Justified's like a Western.
That is like a Western.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Badlands is like Western meets like old school martial arts flick.
Oh, was that the thing that was on A&E or something?
AMC.
AMC, there you go.
Yeah. It's still on. The last season's airing right now. I think it just... Oh, no, it starts in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have cable, so no can watch.
Well, it's on Netflix.
Ah, well, then I'll put it in the queue.
Yeah, that's where I'm watching it. All right, next question.
What is your favorite three black hole / space films?
Oh.
And I didn't say sci-fi, by the way. This is space films, specifically.
Let me get on Pornhub real quick. Space films.
Yes.
Well, of course, I have to go with the classic Alien, the original Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic film. I recently watched the first three back-to-back. It's really good. I want to do a chronological watching though at some point, including like Prometheus and whatever the other one was. I really like Prometheus. Did you ever see that?
No, I haven't.
I really like Prometheus. I know people shit on it. I understand why, but there's some cool ideas in it. All right. Anyways, favorite space / black hole movies.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Alien.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw in there. Oh man, what's the one that I watched recently? I would like to include Arrival, but I can't because it's not technically set in space.
It is not.
On Earth. So it has to be in space.
That's why you can't include Planet of the Apes.
Right. Okay.
I didn't say sci-fi.
No, I gotcha.
But I do have one in my head that you should be naming, but I'll tell you once you name your three.
Okay. I really liked Moon.
Damn it. That was the one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We're see? Psychic. Moon's really good. Isn't that on Netflix right now?
I don't know. If it is, I might have to go watch it tonight.
It's streaming somewhere. I know that because I saw it recently on there. Yeah, Moon's really good. Man, I'm trying to think of the name of this damn movie that I just watched. That was freaking
awesome.
Is it the
trailer that I sent you today for Disney's The Black Hole from 1973? Oh.
Nope. Never heard of it.
No? Did you watch the trailer? Because I'm sure you didn't. It's way too old for you, but there was some cool looking visuals in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that. Black Hole, you say?
Yeah.
It's a Disney movie?
I sent you the YouTube link on your Twitter today.
Oh, okay.
Just watch it from there.
I'll look at it there. What's that Matthew McConaughey movie? I really like that one. That's set in space.
The one that...
And it has a black hole.
Yes, it does.
Damn it. What's that movie?
This is the one by the Batman director?
Yes.
Christopher Nolan?
Yes. I'm going to look for it right now.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It is called Interstellar.
Yeah,
I really like that one.
That's a smart sci-fi film.
It is a very smart sci-fi film. Honorary mention, Dark City. Spoiler alert, it's in space.
Yeah, but it's all... That Interstellar is not dealing with a lot of, like, space issues.
Sure it is.
I'm going to allow it.
Look.
I'll allow it.
At least half of Interstellar is set in space.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it prominently features a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it counts.
It does. But Dark City, I would allow it, but I don't know if I want to allow it.
You should allow it because it is literally set in space.
Hey, you do you. I'm just throwing out the questions. This is your list, not mine.
You know what? I wonder if if the inspiration for Dark City was that one episode of Twilight Zone. Oh man, it's one of my favorite episodes, and I used to remember the title of it. Now I can't remember.
Where Burgess Meredith breaks his glasses.
No, that's a good one.
Where William Shatner sees that monkey man on the outside.
By the way, the one where the glasses, where he breaks his glasses.
Yeah.
And he can't read anymore. That is one of the best episodes of Twilight Zone.
Because it's the most scary?
Yes.
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 Because that's everyone's comic book collection, and then you lose your glasses.
Right. Yep. Right.
I've had nightmares over that. And I've also had the reoccurring nightmare, and this still happens to this day, where, and I know you have this as well, you have like tons of shit you need to read for the first time. And in my head, I always think, what if I have like this weird thing that as soon as I read Amazing Spider-Man 153, my life's done.
Mm.
I just like lean over and I die. Mm-hmm. And in my head, it's like, what if that happens and then I still have like 10,000 books that I've never, ever read? It's never the fear of I finish all 10,000 and then I keel over. No, it's always like me dying and not being able to finish everything that I've purchased.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the episode I was thinking of is called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. You should watch it. I'm pretty sure Twilight Zone's on Netflix. You know what? Cool. It might not be anymore because that new show came out.
Oh.
So it might be CBS All Access exclusive. But check.
I will.
God, that's a good episode.
Is it as good as the plastic surgery episode?
Eye of the Beholder? That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a really
There's so
good.
Many good Twilight Zone mm-hmm. episodes.
I need to watch that new series. I think the first episode is based on the Shatner one.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is that?
Is it the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, CBS All Access.
Oh, I didn't think that even came out yet. The Jordan Peele thing.
Yep.
I didn't even know that was out.
Yeah, it came out either last week or the week before. So I think there's two episodes out.
Well, you should sign up for CBS All Access and then jump through all the hoops trying to unsign up like you did 2 years ago. That was a good story.
So I might try to do that, but have my wife do it. But I'm going to wait until the season's over so I can just binge them all.
Smart.
And then also binge season 2 of Discovery.
Yeah.
But I think my wife wants to get CBS All Access because there's a Stephen King show coming on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but she was very excited about it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right, next question.
All right, this one we're getting back into the science of it.
I love science.
Okay, good. Then you should have a perfect answer for this. While in a black hole, mm-hmm. would you want magnetic boots to adhere to your ship or moon boots to jump all over the place?
Mm. Technically, I would need neither of these.
I know, but like I said, hey, let's take the science out of it. It's sort of a, do you want to be reckless or do you want to lose all that freedom, but you're adhering to a ship that you can walk around on the outside of the ship, walk around?
No, I would definitely get the moon boots.
Yeah, I figured that would be a non-choice for you. Yeah. You have to have those moon boots.
Yeah, I got to have the moon boots. Fuck the ship. I'm already in the black hole, you know what I mean? I don't need the ship.
You want to have fun.
Now I want to explore.
Yeah, this is just, my questions are not related to, like, if one of them was like, you're sitting by a bonfire outside in the black hole. I realize, okay, you're not going to be, it's space, but just go along with the question, damn it. Mm-hmm. You have to realize these are spur of the moment questions that came from the black hole in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is your black hole regarding food or drink?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried everything that you've wanted to try?
I make a point of trying everything I want to try. A black hole in food or drink. I do have food black holes. Like there's foods that aren't available here that I would like to try just to say that I tried them once, right? Like durian. I would like to try durian just one time.
Yeah.
That, for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's the stinky fruit. It smells like rotten garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it tastes quite delicious. It just smells like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that works because your taste is like 50% smell. But apparently, it's quite tasty. So I would like to try that just one time. There's like weird stuff too. Like there's a tribe in Africa that makes some kind of drink with like buffalo blood or something. Mm. I would like to try that just once, just to say I did it. Because I mean, like I like bloodwurst and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So it can't be like that much different. I mean, I guess it'd be kind of weird drinking warm blood. but yeah, I wouldn't mind trying that.
I can tell you, like the one thing that I would not. Well, the one thing I would eat that I would like to try is sea urchin.
Mm.
But the one thing I would never try, even though I've had it before, but it's the way it's prepped. I would never go to one of those restaurants that give you like monkey brains, but it's like a live monkey underneath your table.
Oh, Lord. Is that real?
Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones?
Real. Yeah, that's real.
Oh, man.
And there's no way in hell I would ever do that.
Mm. I've had fish brains.
Yeah, I've had brains before. I just, whew.
Man, I thought that was just made up for the movie.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think I want to try that either.
Okay, here's a follow-up question.
Yes.
What is that one food that would be... What did I just say? Okay, yeah, sorry. What is that one food that you have a black hole for? Meaning once you eat it, just a little bit of it, your tummy starts sucking in all that food, and you just can't get enough of it.
Mac and cheese.
Okay. All right. All right.
Pizza.
Oh, sure.
Not Chicago style.
Yeah. I know.
Although that was quite good. I will give you that. It was good. It was delicious.
It's just something completely different. It shouldn't even be called. If it wasn't called pizza, people would be fine with it.
I would call it more like a casserole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, pizza, lasagna.
Mine, normally, off the top of my head, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
It's pie, and sushi.
Oh, sushi,
I, as soon as I one like piece of sushi, just let me order 10 rolls and I'll just go to town on them.
And sushi's weird too, right? Because you can, I mean, you can eat like one roll, two rolls, and like you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're not physically hungry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're so small, your mind says to yourself, you can probably eat like 4 or 5 more rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 or 20.
As well as everything you slow down when you're at a sushi place usually.
Yeah.
So you're eating for 2 or 3 hours. So it just seems like you can always engorge a little bit more.
That's one experience that I enjoyed about being in the middle of nowhere is the mindfulness of everything that you do. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very nice. Matter of fact, I've been finding myself being mindful of all kinds of things. Like the way that I walk or the way that I breathe. It's very interesting. Anyways, yeah, so she's a good one. That's a really good one, actually. Why didn't I think of that?
You're very sad.
You know what's good? Every time I go, I have to do is Korean barbecue. I always get the bakimbap, the fried rice with kimchi and the sunny side up egg on top.
That does sound good.
I could eat that forever, but boy, does it fill you up. Holy moly.
Yeah, for me, this question was, you're not really hungry, and then all of a sudden you take a bite of like a BLT, and your stomach just is like, I need 10 of those sandwiches in me right now. Mm-hmm. Where before you're like, you weren't even that hungry. Jeez.
Yeah. See, I don't think I have that with drinks, though. I mean,
well,
like,
I wanted to give you an offer for that, because a lot of people are that way. Like, as soon as they take a drink of like Coke, it's like, oh my god, I want 4 of them.
Nah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I don't have that with any drinks, I don't think. I mean, of course, I love imbibing a several gin and tonics, but yeah, it's not like, oh my god, I just have to drink more and more.
Okay, next question. What is your black hole in video games? A game genre? What would you say that you're sort of, you just never really gave its proper due, never really tried?
I think not BioShock, what's the other one? Fallout. The Fallout games I've never played enough. You know what's a really good one for me? The Final Fantasy stuff. Because I remember I played Final Fantasy VII through the end like 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Matter of fact, I played it fairly recently within the past year again. And it's still one of my favorite games of all time.
Would you then say JRPGs?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not even a JRPG guy.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the black hole.
Yeah, but it's really good. I really enjoyed it. And then, but like the other games I haven't played, I dabbled in Final Fantasy VIII, and that was good. But outside of that, there's nothing. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, mine definitely would be JRPG or real-time strategy. I just never interested me. It's almost like Civilization.
Oh, I love Civ.
But like I've tried them, but I just never, those God games, I've never really found an appeal to them.
You need to find a good one like Black and White.
And I've tried many of them. They just never, I don't know, they just never were attracted. I was never attracted to them, so.
Yeah, Black and White's really good. You should do that. You actually play a god.
I know. It's by the guy who did Fable.
Yep. Fable's really good.
And I love Fable.
Whatever happened to that series? I know they're remastering Fable again, I think.
I wouldn't doubt it. Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He is. He did some weird stuff. What was the one, like the evolution game that he did?
Oh, God. I recall it. I can see it right now.
Yeah, but, it had some weird name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, the last question, and this is a follow-up to the previous question. You can't leave a black hole, but you bring one video game from your black hole genre, and it is the only one that you can play until your scheduled release from the black hole, release and rescue, that is set for 3 years from now.
Wait, so repeat that.
You're in a black hole.
Right.
You can only take one game in from your black hole genre from the previous question. You can only take one game in, but that game you only have one game, and the time that you're scheduled rescue is in 3 years. So essentially you're playing one game for 3 years.
Let's clarify here. Are we talking 3 Earth years?
3 Earth years.
Okay. Because I think 3 Earth years in a black hole would probably be like 100 years. All right, if I had to take one game with me to the black hole, the answer, Nick, is very simple. That game would be Hearthstone.
No, from your black hole genre.
Oh, from my black hole genre. Dang it. You mean I can't play Hearthstone for eternity?
No. Well, like you've played Final Fantasy VII four times already. But do you want to be saddled with just Final Fantasy VII for the next 3 years?
So this is a tough question because there's a few games that I really love but that are shorter. And there's games that I like that are much longer. But I think I would go with a shorter game. I think – wait, is it just – can I bring a like a box collected edition?
Or just, no, just because one that game? All of a sudden – you're like, I'm going to bring Final Fantasy, all 17 versions. No.
Well, they don't have that.
That might take you 3 Earth years to get through all of the Final Fantasy games. Well,
the reason I asked is they don't make that, but they do have a BioShock collection. And so I would bring that. Now, if I can't do this collection, then I would still bring a BioShock game, and that would be BioShock Infinite.
And that's one that is a black hole for you?
Oh, wait. You said a black hole. Damn it!
Yes. Sorry, the woman falling out of the window with the rose will not be coming with you.
All right, I have to bring a black hole game with me.
I can already tell you mine, but yeah. I wouldn't know a number. I have no clue about the number because I don't follow it. It's a black hole for me.
Go ahead.
But it would be a Civ game because that's always changing.
Dang it.
That's how I'm looking at it. If I have to spend 3 years, I want that game to adjust a little bit beyond, like for me, if I was looking at JRPGs, it would be a JRPG that I could be walking through that game as different characters, and that game would slightly change enough for me to be like, okay, I can play this for 3 years. And not get
bored with it. Am I able to play online in this black hole?
You mean, can I go on and chat with other game players for 3 years?
No. I mean, I know that technically nothing can escape the black hole, so technically I could not have wireless internet in the black hole.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So there's no multiplayer.
Or could it be the communication like Moon, where you're sending out transmissions and then it takes whatever it is, 28 hours to get a response back. Yeah, you can have that if you want.
Well, so the reason I ask is because the game that I would bring, if that were the case, would be Knights of the Old Republic.
Which is
a game that I've always wanted to play but never did, and now you can't even play it.
That's true. Well, then we can put it into a fantasy realm and let you do KOTOR for sure.
All right. I would bring Knights of the Old Republic. We would set up, you know what? We don't need to do that because on the other side of the black hole is a separate universe. And so I would be playing with people on this other universe in KOTOR. That's exactly what would happen. I just can't play with you, Nick, because you're in this side of the black hole, but I could play with everybody on the other side of the black hole.
That's a good one. I like it. Mm-hmm.
KOTOR. That's where we're going.
I'll sign off on that. I was just talking to John on Twitter. He finished KOTOR. And I said, oh, so next up is Jade Empire? And he had no clue what Jade Empire was. And then he went and wikied it. And he was like, oh, my gosh, it's like KOTOR, but like in a Japanese fantasy setting. Oh, my. And I'm like, yes, with all these different kung fu moves. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
KOTOR.
Well, very good. Thank you for doing my black hole game, Martin Freddy.
Black Hole Sun, won't you come?
Yep. It's always a good one.
Throw away the whatever. I can't remember the whole thing. Sorry. We went to the last concert. Did I ever tell you this story?
I never heard a Soundgarden or Chris Cornell concert story from you.
So we went to their last concert, and a friend of mine, we won't say what his name is, whatever, he's not listening, Sherwin. We went to this concert and Chris Cornell like missed a note or something. I can't remember what it was. And this friend of, this is not me, so before you say it, This friend of mine was drunker than shit, and he was like, we had to be like 18. Something like that. We were pretty young. We were not old enough to drink. And he threw a beer bottle on stage, and Chris Cornell threw the biggest hissy fit ever, understandably, because some asshole, we won't name him, Sherwin, threw a beer bottle at him. And he stormed off stage. He ended up coming back, but then him and the drummer got into a fight, and then they ended the concert, and then they canceled all their like next few concerts. So he, I'm assuming until this day, I mean, I haven't talked to him in like 15 years, but until this day, swears that he's the man responsible for breaking up Soundgarden.
I don't know if I'd want to hang my hat on that.
Well, I agree, but I'm sure
imagine how many beer bottles would be thrown at him if he copped to that on stage.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't have said his real name. Whoops.
I couldn't even imagine. Could you even imagine being on stage and you have all these bright lights and like you can't even see anybody and then you have like a thing of glass explode next to you? Mm-hmm. Holy Christ, that's mm-hmm. gotta freak you the F out.
Yep. See, if he was the world's greatest detective, he could have figured it out.
Yeah.
Maybe I could give him some lessons.
Hey, going back to your illegal answer for the black hole game.
Whoa. That was not an illegal answer. It was perfectly legal by the rules of this contest.
No, there was an illegal answer given and then you retracted it. So I wanna dovetail off that. How is your newly released Hearthstone expansion treating you?
Wait, what does that have to do with Arrival? I thought we were gonna talk about Arrival.
No. I didn't want to talk about Arrival. I never mentioned Arrival.
You said that the movie that was didn't count. Oh, you were talking about the video game. The video game. Sorry, yes. I was stuck in Arrival. I'm still stuck in Arrival, Nick. I've been reading I think I told you this a couple episodes ago. I've been reading a lot of Derrida.
Yep.
Oof. That's some deep stuff. Like language wise. I'm doing research for my other podcast. Coming soon. Hungry for More. Go get ready to subscribe. But yes, I was doing research on, and we're not going to talk about it. It doesn't matter. It's too deep. We're not going to do that. I'm reading about Gödel's incompleteness theorem right now. It's fantastic.
You're reading about the history of Gödel's?
Yes. The history of Gödel's episode one.
I'd like to know about that history. Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. What were we talking about? Oh, Hearthstone. Yes. It came out yesterday. It's fantastic. I mean, I don't know about fantastic. It's too early to tell, Nick.
Has it reinvigorated the game for you?
Well, the thing is,
expansion should.
So the thing is, every year they do three expansions a year, but mm-hmm. every year they have like a year of something. So right now it's the year of the dragon. When they turn over the year, mm-hmm. the expansions from the previous year drop off. You can't play those cards anymore, except for the latest one. So the problem is I can no longer play my favorite deck of the last 6 months because some of those cards are not legal in standard anymore.
Right.
You can play them in wild, but who wants to play wild? I like to play standard.
Sure.
So I can't play that deck anymore. So I need to find a way to recreate this deck with the current cards because I love it so much.
Do some cards get released? And they're just way too overpowered, so they have to be nerfed after a while? Or happens if they're way too overpowered?
Yeah, that happens all the time. And then, like, sometimes there's some cards that kind of hinder what they want the game to be, so they throw them in, like, the Hall of Fame. And then you can't play them anymore. I mean, you can play them in Wild, but you can't play them in Standard. You can't even, like, craft a card or anything.
Gotcha.
And there were a few like that. Because last year they did this thing where there were two legendary cards, that gave you like additional abilities if you had only even cost cards and then only odd cost cards. But those decks were severely overpowered and those cards came out last expansion. So technically they would still be legal for another year. But the decks that people made with those cards were so good that they were like ridiculous win rates. Like if you knew how to pilot it correctly, like 70-80% win rates. And they don't want that, right? They want decks to be like around 50% win rate. Where like if you're really good, you can get above 50%, so you climb the ladder. But so the cars that got a Hall of Fame, they give you full dust reimbursement for it. Basically, whatever you like gold you use to purchase them, you get back and completely. So anyway, so it came out yesterday. It's too early to tell. It usually takes a couple weeks at least before the meta is defined, like what decks are good and what aren't. And the thing that I've noticed already is people are already playing like the same fucking deck, Bomb Warrior, and like it's a cool deck, but like it's kind of boring to go in there and like play the same fucking deck all the time. You know what I mean? Or against the same deck all the time. So I'm gonna play. I'm still gonna play like through this weekend, but then I think I'm gonna take like a week off, maybe 2 weeks off, and wait to see what happens when people like figure out cool things to do with the new cards. But it's good.
That totally makes sense, because whenever they add like new guns or new like abilities to a shooter or an online game, all of a sudden, as soon as somebody like crunches the numbers, then you realize like, why is everyone using that gun with that attachment with it? And it's all just max min stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so frustrating.
It is. And the thing is, like, people want to climb the ladder. So they obviously want to pick not necessarily the best decks, but sometimes the fastest decks, because they help you climb faster. And the problem with those decks is they're not fun to play against.
Right.
Right. And so
it's just like you're playing a mirror version of yourself.
Well, either that or like because everybody plays it, every game is the same. And I like to play decks that are very different. So like the deck that I was talking about, you were basically using not your own cards, but like the other class's cards.
Can I just ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
How many cards are in like the full deck? Not just your hand, but like the full deck.
It's 30 cards in a deck.
So why wouldn't the company let you, like, you can set up, because I assumed you're setting up that 30, right?
Yes.
Why wouldn't they let you set up a deck of 40 cards and then have your opponent randomly, blindly select 10 cards and just burn them? Mm. And then that would make it more random for you to deal with those consequences. You know what I'm saying?
So
instead of allowing people constantly to have the same 30 cards.
This has been a discussion in the Harsa community for many a year.
Because
that is kind of how it works in competitive Hearthstone.
So you're saying I have a brain for Hearthstone.
You do.
Why am I not hired by Hearthstone? What the hell?
But like in tournaments that you can like ban a class, for example. Right, so there's 9 different classes. You can ban a class. So like if Paladin is like has like the strongest deck, you can be like, well, ban Paladin. And then the opponent can never play a Paladin deck. Right?
But then they're also banning one from you.
Sure. Maybe. Yes.
Yeah.
Or they could be like, well, you have to follow these rules to make a deck. So like you can't use this particular card or that particular card. But everything else is fair game. Like that happens in tournaments, but it doesn't happen just like in the regular game.
That's why I never played Magic, because I never understood you're using cards, and like when I win something, just like poker, I want to win your shit.
Mm.
And people were always like, oh no, then you just take it back and you just, you know, you reuse it. And it's like, yeah, but I should be winning something. I should be taking something from you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it was when I was playing Magic back in the day.
Yeah.
Like you always bid on the winner, and the bid was just, it was a card. Like you picked a card.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Hearthstone you don't have that. You get like gold or packs or stuff like that.
Right.
But there's no betting. I think there's like strict rules about that though in some countries.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they couldn't do that legally.
Without
it's just like all the hot water around blind boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like some countries want to know what the draw rate is.
Yep. Yeah, Hearthstone had that problem.
Yeah, I think everyone did if they wanted to go international.
Yep.
So, and it's strange that they have different rooms for stuff, like you're saying, like in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not have this blind like selection? Why not just make that its own little room? And then all of a sudden Hearthstone could see all the numbers and see, well, this is the most popular way people like playing. This is the second, this is the third, this is the fourth. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden they have analytics to back up. Well, there's a crap ton of people out there that want to play X way. You know, maybe we should expand that. Not that I have to tell them their business. Holy Christ. They're not hurting for anything.
Yeah. Well, they do have all that information. I think they're getting better at using it.
That's good.
But we'll see. So it's,
I'm glad you could have an expansion. That's exciting.
Yes. This is the first time I didn't pre-purchase it, by the way.
Wow. Any good images?
Oh, the art is great.
Yeah.
Art is great. So cool. I do a pre-purchase, so you get like bonus packs. But I didn't do that this time. I'm just going to use whatever cards I get from winning packs.
You're so zen right now. Look at you.
I guess. I guess. But I mean, I had a bunch of dust from disenchanting my old cards. So I just made a bunch of stuff. And I made a couple decks. They're all right. They're all right. Like I said, too early to tell. There's one deck that I made that I really like, but I keep running out of cards.
Does it feel, with every expansion, does it feel like it changes the game or breathes new life into it enough for you?
This expansion might. The last couple, not really.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of people are using a lot of classic cards.
Gotcha.
In their decks.
Okay.
And that's like, why would you want to play the same shit all the time? That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't get it. I do not get it.
But to go to your point, this deck that I used to play has this card called Academic Espionage. And when you play it, it shuffles 10 random cards from your opponent's class into your deck.
Ooh.
And that's why I really enjoyed it. Oh, and they also cost one instead of whatever they actually cost. So I want to try to remake that. We'll see. I love Hearthstone. Hearthstone's fun as shit.
That's cool. I like it.
It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah, but it's nice to get away from your daily grind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I guess. So I have two bird's nests in my house.
In your house?
Well, outside my house.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you meant attic or something.
There is a there's a sparrow nest on top of my front door.
Oh, God. Okay.
And there is a robin nest on a light fixture in my back porch.
Jesus. What the hell?
So we don't care about the sparrow's nest because we never use the front door. We go in and out through the garage.
Uh-huh.
But the robin's nest in the back, we have to be very careful because the little robin is still trying to learn how to escape the back porch because it's got bug netting all around it. So she when we open the door, she flies out of the nest and starts flying around the porch and can't get out until she figures out where the door is. But there's eggs in there, little blue speckled eggs.
Christmas.
So my wife and I were talking about this over dinner tonight. We went to this new restaurant that opened recently, and we're trying to figure out what to do with this nest. So I figured, like, we should move it, you know what I mean? Where it's, like, more accessible to the bird. And also, we don't have birds flying around the fucking back porch when we try to go back there.
Would they allow you to do that?
Move the nest?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
I always thought once, like, a bird smells like a person.
So that's
like
the problem.
It won't return to the nest.
So my wife is concerned that if we move the nest, that she won't come back to hatch the eggs.
Yeah.
To which I replied, we can make robin omelets.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
although I don't know how good an omelet would be because, I mean, those eggs are pretty small. You know what I mean? But we'll see. I think we're just gonna leave it there, and then after the birds hatch, maybe then we'll move it.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know like what the growth rate of a baby robin is before they can fly on their own. But it can't be that long, right?
Yeah, I don't. That's a black hole of knowledge for me. I've never been like, hey, let me figure this out. Let me go on and Google this. No, mm-hmm. No interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Since you have black holes of knowledge, you should prepare to subscribe to my new podcast, Hungry for More. First episode is on bullshit.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. I just saw Sparky tweeted at me. He wants me to do an episode on black holes.
Just tell him you already did one about 3 minutes ago. And why are you reading Twitter? You're doing a podcast, for God's sakes.
Listen, I'm literally sitting in front of this computer staring at it.
Well, stare at your original artwork that's hanging on the wall instead of that computer.
Mm, yes. Yeah. So anyway, we went to this restaurant. It's pretty good. It was cheap. My wife sent me a picture. She's like, "We should go here tonight." I was like, "All right."
How did you hear of it?
Well, she keeps seeing pictures of their food on Facebook.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And so finally she's like, I've been seeing this for weeks. We should go. She's like, it's cheap and it looks great. And I was like, eh, it looks all right, but it is cheap, so I guess we could go. I mean, dude, it's like, we all had steak.
Mm-hmm.
They were small, like 6-ounce steaks, and two sides for $10.
Wow, that's a great price.
It's a steal.
Yeah.
So we went. I had the steak with okra and onion rings. My mm-hmm. wife had steak with okra and a baked potato. And Reagan had steak with okra and home fries.
Boy, it all sounds yummy.
It was good. Very enjoyable. Mm.
Cool.
Anything else, Nick?
No, I'm all set.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. You, yes, you, have been listening to the Black Hole Podcast with Nick Wetmore. You can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at GeekFinding, at Nerdy Legion. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Very good, sir. Mm. I like the laid-back Bart.
I like
this is a new character.
New character?
Yeah. I like this.
I don't know about new. I think he's just always been there. Just maybe in hiding.
Well, I like that you brought him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Have they found your Moon Knight page for you?
Nope.
God dang it.
Mm-hmm. He took it off his website.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, he sent me an email. He's like, I can't find it. I got to take it off the website. I was like, all right, but if you still find it, let me know.
Oh, dang it.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I ain't worried. I probably shouldn't. I probably don't need to spend that money anyway.
On second thought.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. If he finds it, I'm still going to buy it, but. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How could I do that with living for a dollar a day? I can't buy an original art page. I couldn't buy anything for the next like 2 years.
But maybe that's why you live for a dollar a day, that you're socking away all that other money. And you're like, I can afford that. I can get a Brian Boland Judge Dredd cover. Sign me up.
Oh, I wouldn't mind some Judge Dredd. I don't think he had any in there. Hmm.
I didn't come across any when I was flipping through his books.
Matter of fact, now I need to look on his website.
But I'm sure I could have asked the person and they would have been like, yes, here's a whole book and here's Chris Weston's version. And
let's see if they have any Judge Dredd. Ooh, what is this? Is this a... that's a print. Never mind. That was cool.
Dang it.
That was Dave Sim. Doctor Who. Dave Sim. Yeah, Doctor Who, Thunder Agents, Judge Dredd, and X-Files.
Weird.
Oh, he's got some Judge Dredd pages.
Oh, wow. From who?
Rick Levins.
Hmm.
Oh, I like these. Damn it.
Sorry! Maybe we signed off too early, because usually I get you to buy something.
Oh, don't worry. I'm still recording.
Oh.
He's
pulling the trigger.
I gotta think about this one. This page is all right. I'll find some. I want to find the... I do want to find some stuff, like a nice Judge Dredd page or like a Predator page, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you see on Twitter, Chris Weston did a hashtag portfolio day or something like that?
And
one of his pages was a colored page that he did on Judge Dredd.
Really?
And it looked. And another one was one of his prisoner pages.
Oh, wow.
Holy Megarole.
Really? Oh my god.
I know.
I've never read this. I need to read this.
Super. I think Judge Dredd, even a Judge Dredd like non-action page just looks so damn good.
I agree. So he's got a Superman vs. Predator number 2 cover.
Ooh.
By Alex Maleev.
Yes, I know it.
$1,500.
That ain't bad for Alex Maleev.
That's a fucking awesome-ass page, though.
Jeez.
I
would never think I could pay that price and get a cover.
Yeah, no, yeah, you can, but Alex Maleev cover, that does seem pretty cheap.
Oh, for sure.
Especially with Superman being on the cover?
Yeah.
Wait a second, what is happening here?
Are they having a sale and you didn't even know about it?
There's Alex Maleev interior pages for this book, and they're cheap as shit. They're like $200.
Wow, that is cheap as shit.
What is going on right now?
Thank God you're only spending a dollar a day. Look at all that money you saved.
God damn it.
You need to have one of those.
I do need to have one of these.
Right.
Damn it, Nick. All right. Well, I mean, I was going to go read.
Uh-oh. Down the rabbit hole you go?
But maybe I just need to look in here.
Did you type in aliens?
No, I'm just doing that next. Oh, okay. All right. I'll look at these later. He's only got like 37 Predator pages.
Only.
There's only... What is this?
What is going on?
What's happening right now? There's Aliens by John Byrne. What's happening?
Ooh.
That's just aliens. See, that's the problem with searching for aliens.
Yeah.
Because then you get all kinds of random alien shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Batman Aliens by Bernie Wrightson.
Sheesh, come on. Do you even want to look at that price?
It's $800. I wouldn't, that's too scratchy. I wouldn't pay $800 for that. Very interesting. My boy Norm Preyfogle, I guess we'll go down that rabbit hole. I gotta see, is this on Comixology? Superman Aliens? I didn't even know that came out.
Yeah. I could swear it was in that DC Dark Horse. There's like two volumes, and I could swear Superman Aliens was one of the miniseries.
Really?
Ooh.
Let's see here. Okay, Superman and Batman versus Aliens and Predator. Whoa. Mine was just blown.
Is it free on Comixology to read, too?
This is not the same book, though. This is Ariel Olivetti, your boy.
He's not my boy.
Yeah, he is. Dude, this is fucking nice looking. Woo-wee.
Okay, then he's my boy.
All right, I'm going to read this, because they're only $1.99 a piece. But I want to find... Damn it, they don't... Oh, there it is. Superman. Nope, that's the same book. Damn it, I want to read this other one. I want Superman Predator.
Well, then put that in. Because that's in there.
That's what I did, and it only shows us one book.
It's in there.
No, dude, it's Superman and Batman versus Aliens and Predator.
No.
I'm telling you. Oh, shit. There's Batman Birth of a Demon pages on here. God damn it.
Seems like you haven't spent too much time on this website.
I should have
just... That you keep saying you did.
I should have just spent all 3 days at this booth. God damn it! Anyways, I think I am going to go read, though.
I'm going to find that damn thing, and I'm going to send it to you.
All right, if you find it, send me the link, but I don't see it. And the art is Alex Maleev.
Here's Batman Aliens. That's from Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm. I need Superman Predator. I'm telling you, it's not in there.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to be sending it to you.
All right, that's fine.
Here's Justice League. Nope. And Dark Horse. Let me look at this. Okay, it is Batman teams up with Tarzan.
Nope.
Kyle, JLA versus Predator, Batman, Tarzan, Green Lantern versus Alien, Superboy, and Spies Like Us.
Nope, see? Not in there.
That's volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
You just shut your face. I gotta figure this out. Hold on, because that's volume 2. Where's volume 1, damn it?
Not on Comixology.
It might not be on Comixology, but here, hold on.
Nope.
Dark Horse: Superman.
Oh?
Uh-huh. Hold on. Book details. Hold on. Book details. The crossover stories. Okay, here we go. Collects Superman versus Aliens, Volume 1. Superman versus Aliens, Volume 2. Superman Tarzan and Superman Madman. Nope. Damn it.
Not it.
But I have the Superman, I have it right upstairs in my long box. I could tell you what a cover looks like from memory.
Yes, in a long box, not on Comixology. You know what? Let's check on DC Universe. I bet it's not in there either.
Damn it.
Let's search for Predator on DC Universe. Okay. If I search for Predator on DC Universe, guess what comes up? Nothing. I mean, there's stuff that comes up, but none of it has Predator. Shameful.
Dang it.
Shameful.
I don't get it.
Comic books. I got to see what comic books they have, man. They just added 2,700 comics on there.
On the DC?
Yeah.
Damn.
And then in the next few months, they're adding like literally everything that's older than a year.
Really?
Yep.
Holy Christ.
Yep. Oh my God. There's so many comics on here now. Holy Jesus.
It sounds like it's going to be worth your monthly fee.
Yes, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Mm, comics, good time. You know what? I'm going to order this Superman Predator from my comic shop.
I'm looking right now, and I'm trying to find it a different way than what you did.
God damn it. I'm not paying $20 for a 3-issue series.
You pay $20. Just do it.
No.
Oh, here we go. Hello. No. Found it. No, found it on Comixology.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
It is, and this is the stupid thing, DC Comics / Dark Horse Comics / Justice League.
What?
And it, yes, and it includes, collects Superman versus Predator 1 through 3, Superman versus Terminator Fight for the Future 1 through 4, Batman, Hellboy, Starman.
Ooh,
1 to 2,
that's a good one.
The Batgirl. 1 through 4. That's it. That's it, sucka.
All right, I found $16.99. Yep, that's exactly it.
Don't you tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. I know what I'm talking about.
I can see the Alex Maleev in those preview pages.
All right.
And then what's this one? DC Comics Dark Horse Batman vs. Predator. Is that just?
That's Alex. Something different.
Batman vs. Predator 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this $18.99?
What are they doing? Because they're backing up the Batman Brinks truck.
Okay. I'm confused, though. Let me tell you why I'm confused. For the first time, all three Batman vs. Predator miniseries are collected into one massive bloody collection. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Including the Eisner Award-winning Batman vs. Predator 1 through 3. But it doesn't say what else is on here. Because if you go down, it says, collects Batman vs. Predator 1 through 3 by Dave Gibbons and Andy Kubert. That's all it says.
Well, it sounds like something that you just should be buying. Because it's Batman.
Do I have all three, though? I know I have the first one.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I do. I need to pull up my spreadsheet.
But how is this 400 pages if it's only 3 issues?
That's what I'm saying. It says 3 miniseries. That would make sense for 400 pages. Well, I don't know, man. Even then. Yeah, these are old, though. Back in the day, there was some heft.
Oh, sorry. You're reading this wrong. It's 3 different 3-issue miniseries.
But are they all called Batman vs. Predator? Is that what it is?
That's how I'm taking it, yeah. Because if you read the 3 paragraphs, it's sort of broken up because it says, finally, Batman and Robin must face the third incursion from space. Rages across the streets of Gotham as Mr. Freeze and Catwoman entangle themselves in a web of death. Yeah, this is three issue, because that makes sense.
But I don't want to pay $18.99 for this book. Let's see if I can.
You should have spent $4.99 when it was on sale.
Well,
I think I even.
You know, my friend Nick didn't tell me about the sale.
I told you about it. And since you're buying that, you should just buy the Batman Aliens book, too. What the heck?
All right. I can get this for the same price on Amazon. So I think I'm just going to do that.
Why don't you just put all three of them into your in-stock trades shopping cart, and then you get free shipping as well as like a 45% discount.
Well, it's already 45% because the hardcover is $55.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good.
So it's already half off.
Man, I'm looking over my DC Dark Horse Comics Aliens that have the Batman crossover, and one of the issues that are in there is the Wildcats Alien that I bought solo.
Oh, man.
I double dipped on that motherfucker. Except it is Superman, Superman Batman versus Aliens Predator. That would be a pretty good read for 2 issues.
Mm-hmm. How's your Wildcats going? Or what are you doing now? Oh, yeah, you're still in Wildcats, right?
I'm Mr. Wildstorm right now.
Oh, yes.
I'm all about it.
That's what I like to hear.
I have so much stuff backing up because of it. Right now I'm at Point Blank, which I never read before, which is really good. A good Ed Brubaker costumed Cole Cash.
Ah.
And that's going to lead right into Sleeper. So
nice.
Yeah, it's really good. It seems like as soon as Ellis came on board, you're right. Like, you can tell, like, phase one to phase two. Mm-hmm. Wow, phase two just picked right up.
Holy shit.
What?
I gotta do some math here real quick. What is happening?
Uh-oh.
God damn it. I gotta quit reading comics. I checked my unread list on Comixology like 3 days ago. It was 268.
Not bad.
I just go on Comixology.
Yeah.
332.
I would take that.
No, it's unacceptable.
Buddy, my unread right now is 1858. Unread. Are you fucking kidding me? Thank God I'm unemployed, or I would be. Just imagine how many comics I'd be buying right now.
Jesus Christ. Hey, uh-huh. Did I tell you about what I'm reading? What's it called? Meta Barons.
Oh, is that Andre Jurarski?
Yes.
Yes. We talked about him before. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he writes some crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I was talking to Travis, and I recorded Aftershock's intro last week. And after we got through, we started talking about something, and somehow Jodorowsky came up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I was talking about Dune, and he brought up Jodorowsky because apparently Jodorowsky had written a script for Dune.
Yeah.
And it was rejected, and so he turned his script into Meta Barons.
Oh, interesting. So I didn't know that part of the story.
So I was like, well, shit, I got to read it now. So they had Volume 1 and 2 on Comixology Unlimited. And I read the first one, and I just bought all of them. It's really good.
Yeah, he was the one that I told you about that directed that one film, Santa Sanrije.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About the armless woman who the gentleman comes up behind her and becomes her arms.
Yeah.
Whew, that was a wild watch when I was in high school.
Shit.
Yeah, you should pay attention to him. He's out there.
He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah, very, very prolific.
I see that. Yeah, I think there's 8 volumes of Meta Barons.
Jeez.
They were cheap too. I think they were like $6 a piece.
Oh, I always see them on sale.
Were they on sale? I don't fucking know. I just bought them. That's all I know.
Yeah, I know. I know, but I'm just saying that I always see him on sale. Like a lot of his writings are constantly on sale. That, what is it? Canal.
Hmm.
There was another series that he did that. Are you kidding me? I can watch Santa Sanrije with Amazon Prime right now.
Oh shit. You should do that.
Oh my God.
Oh, Incal. That's the one. Yeah. That's how we came up.
Yeah. There you go. Incal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was Mobius.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it came up.
Yeah.
Mobius.
Oh.
You know, my favorite geometric shape is the Mobius strip.
Oh, you are too much.
Look up a three-twist Mobius strip. It is awesome.
Did I tell you when I was hanging out with Mike and he was talking about at C2E2, and he was talking about the nougat thing before going into Aftershock.
Nougat, yes.
He was like, do you think Martin was serious about his favorite candy being Ferrero Rocher? And I'm like, I don't think he was joking. And he's just like, God, he's pretentious.
I love Ferrero Rochers. They're the best.
I know you do. Oh, it's so good.
Talk about something that I could black hole eat, fucking Ferrero Rochers. Especially during the holidays, they have the multi-packs.
Yeah, like, with all special flavors.
Yeah, it's got like 4 different flavors in it.
Yep.
Man, those coconut ones are good.
See. Oh, God, you are too much. Too much. Ay, ay, ay.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Ah.
See? Bonus episode! Hello!
Well, I am going to let you go meditate and let you go to bed.
Hell yeah.
So get the hell out of here.
Kite Man! Hell yeah.